Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. By the way, we are keeping up with the story of the day. Tiger Woods, a car accident in California. He had to be lifted by paramedics and firefighters from the vehicle. He has he is in surgery with multiple leg injuries. However, Tiger is not in a life-threatening condition, which is good. Right now, the Los Angeles County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, is having a press conference. If anything comes of that, we will let you know. But again, we are just keeping an eye on Tiger Woods. But again, the good news today, Tiger Woods, not life threatening. And I know that, you know, we all want to see Tiger out there on the course. We want to see Tiger getting back out to it. But I wouldn't want to lose the perspective of not taking for granted the fact that these injuries are not life-threatening. Meanwhile, the Predators are on the road at Detroit tonight. They got two at Detroit, then they come home for two against Columbus. And while they had a nice win on Saturday, I will give them credit. They played well Saturday. They won the game. That's great. But I do feel as if, this is just me, they're going to need to maybe win a little bit more before I can get really excited about it. David Poile was on the Midday Show today. He hears probably all the chatter about everybody wanting to sell and all the articles that are being written. And he said, hey, don't write this team off yet. Here's what he said. Take a listen.
Again, I'm not giving up on this, on the season. I mean, hope springs eternal. Our game against Columbus on Saturday night was our best game of the year. It really felt like we were a team for maybe for the first time. It was exciting, entertaining to watch. Players were skating, players were passing the puck, making plays, all the ingredients of a very competitive team. Now, having said that, we're playing in Detroit tonight and Thursday, and again, every game is important, but you know, we get a chance to climb back into this playoff race by having a couple of good games against Detroit tonight and Thursday. So, you know, you're always adapting, adjusting, I guess you would say, to the situation, and it's been a hard year, and I guess I would just like to continue to buy a little bit more time and see if the game that we played on Saturday night is similar to the game that we play tonight.
Hal Gill joins us now, presented by Dunkin', featuring their new location, Bell Mead, and TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Hal Pecorine said, he would say to the players, don't worry about all the rumors, just play. Let's see if we can get it turned around. You heard what David Poile said right there. How would you feel if you were on this team about the way things have gone so far and the rumors that are surrounding the team about what may be next?
Well, what I would say if I was Pecorine is, and I'll say the same thing as being myself. Did that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Your job is to worry about the rumors. The GM's job, David Poile's job, is to worry about where the team is going. Pecorine's job and every other player in that locker room is to worry about the next game and getting another win. They can't worry about anything else. That's all noise. Nashville doesn't always have that much noise, but I've played in markets where there's a ton of noise, and you get pretty good at tuning it all out. If you don't win, things are going to change, but all you can do is to control your game, go out there, give everything you got, and try to win the next one, and hopefully that works out, and you move on, and you try to win the next one, and that's all you really can focus on. So I think Pex is spot on saying, yeah, just go play hockey.
Hal, I said earlier this week, like, I know that they felt good about their game, and you heard what David said, feeling good about the game on Saturday night. It was a fine game. But, like, I probably need four in a row to get excited. I know that sounds crazy, but I need both against Detroit, I need both against Columbus before you can convince me that, hey, you know, it wasn't one game that they won. Am I being too hard on them for that?
Well, you can get excited whenever you want. You're entitled to do that. But the players are got to go out and say, hey, we did something good. We're excited about what we did. Now we have to keep doing it again. I think getting excited about something is saying, hey, we have something that we're doing right, and we're doing something, we want to continue to do that. And that's exciting. And if you're not excited about it, then you're in the wrong business. You got to get excited about winning. And they won a game. They get excited about it. They try to do it again.
What is holding this team back from playing consistent hockey like we saw Saturday night?
I don't know. That's a tough one. You say, hey, you know, why can't we get starts like we had the other night? Why can't we get a complete 60-minute game? There's a lot of things that go into it, but I think as the coaching staff looks at it, and I'm sure the players are picking up what the coaches are putting down, is we need to play the right way. We need to play 60 minutes. So, you know, I'll go back to not to beat it to death, but worry about that first shift. That's the most important one. And then worry about the rest of the game after that and really set the tone, have a good start, and keep rolling with it. And I think that's the mentality that they have to have is every play matters. Every play could change a game. And if you have that mentality, then you can kind of carry it through. For whatever reason, they haven't had that. They've been a little bit tentative and a little bit, you know, watching the play happen. And good teams in the NHL will make you pay. If you're watching, you gotta be proactive and go out there and make things happen.
Have you ever been on a team, Hal Gill's our guest, have you ever been on a team where the sum of the pieces was nowhere near what you thought the pieces were worth? Because I think we would agree that, like, the Predators players are a lot better than the Predators team. And I know this because when, like, Elliot Friedman goes on the Midday Show, he talks about, oh, man, they could get something for Brad Richardson. They could get something for Nick Cousins. They could get something for Eric Halla. They could get a huge haul for Matthias Ekholm. They could get a huge haul for Philip Forsberg. I mean, they could, if they sold, they would get all these guys. And then you watch them on the ice, and they're the second worst team in the division. And that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the salary cap is supposed to fix that. It's supposed to make everyone bring parity to the league. Don't forget, I played against the New York Rangers. Had what did they have? $95 million. I mean, it was $95 million they had, and you'd see that lineup get on the ice, and you go, "Oh my goodness, there's no way we can compete with this." And we'd go out and compete with them and beat them at times. It's not a slam dunk just because you have all the best players. You're exactly right. The sum of the parts, you know, you got to put it together. You got to play as a team, and you got to get it done as a team. So, you know, I look through the Preds, and I think there's a lot of guys that aren't performing to their level because the team isn't performing to their level. And really, there's a lot of these guys on this team that depend on a good team to play well. So it's in that locker room that they have to decide how we're going to get out of this and how we're going to do it. And I think it was a good start the other night. They played really a hard-fought game for 60 minutes against a good team in Columbus.
What do you think of Pekka? Elliot Friedman came out and said that Pekka was untouchable. He, Ryan Ellis, and Roman Josi are untouchable. Now, why Ryan Ellis is untouchable is beyond me, but I don't want to get into that argument with you.
Well, you don't understand the game, Jared. Ryan Ellis is awesome.
He's fine. But
He's awesome, Jared. How many times have I told you this? He's awesome.
How many teams have all these awesome players and don't win games?
He's positionally awesome. He's got a great shot. He moves the puck extremely well. He is awesome.
He's got a great shot that doesn't ever come near the net. That I know. I mean, he loves those one-timers that don't get anywhere close. I mean, hey, I'll sign up for those kind of players. But, Harold, I forgot what question I was
going to
ask.
You were saying they were untouchable.
Oh, Pekka.
I think Pex is you know, a huge part of this franchise. He's showing that he can be the go-to guy still.
But don't you think it'd be right by him, Hal? Don't you think it'd be right by him to go to Pekka and say, hey, man, like if they decide that they're not going to be competitive this year. And I mean, I think they're a bad week away from that. And if they were to decide that, would it not be the right thing to do to say, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to finish it out this year, or do you want us to look at sending you somewhere where they need a goalie and they are going to compete for a cup so that you can at least get one last crack at it?
Let me tell you about untouchable. Wayne Gretzky got traded, so there's your untouchable. Everyone is touchable. If you don't win games, if the team doesn't go right, then, you know, anything can happen. But what I think the analysis that you're getting is that these guys are a huge part of this team, and Josi, Ellis, and Rinne are the backbone of this team and really the franchise. And so it's going to take something special to move those guys. So that's why they become untouchable. Really, is anyone untouchable? No.
Well, I mean, Yossi's got that no movement clause, but I would agree. I wonder if you're Pekka and the team, like, let's say the team continues in this path and it's the middle of March and we know, you know, wouldn't it be the right thing to do for a veteran player like him to say, hey, do you want to go try to go somewhere else and win a cup this year? Or do you want to finish it out here, even though we're not going to be very good?
Yeah, that's why no movement clauses get waived. You know, you say, hey, we're at a crossroads here. What do we do? How do we handle this? And they get to it. But I think you're way ahead of yourself. I think there's some work to be done. There's some time that David Poile needs to take back and sit back. And as much as he wants to make changes and make this team better, he's got to be patient, sit back, and let this team find their stride. And if they can't, then you make it happen. But you know, I think there's a little bit of room before that happens.
So I'm not going to pile on the coach, John Hines. I don't think this is his problem, though. Not sure how much he's helping. But I take, you know, how Terry Crisp came on our show on Thursday and defended John Hines, and then on the post-game TV show went out of his way to defend John Hines. If we can get, Ian, the one of Crispy on the post-game show. I mean, both times it felt like Crispy was getting on his soapbox to defend John Hines. Take a listen.
And I got to say this now in defense of coaches and Hines. Coach Hines is a fact. I coached for enough years. And you can do a lot of things. You can coach power play. You can coach penalty kill. You can coach breakouts, et cetera. You know one thing a coach cannot coach is goal scoring. That's a God-given talent, or that's something that you hone and you do and you get it done. So we can talk every night about our chances. We can talk every night about wide shots, hitting the goalie. You know what? It's not fair to ask the coaches every time, why aren't they scoring? Well, why aren't they? Go and ask them. Ask the guys who are, say, oh, he's a 30-goal scorer. Ask him why he's not scoring. Or he's got 15 point-blank chances. Ask him why not. Because coaches cannot go out in the ice for them and take them by the hand and lift their stick and put the puck in the net.
And Hal, I don't think that if Crispy didn't think John Hines was doing the job, I don't think he'd throw him under the bus. But I don't think he'd go out of his way to kind of point out that, A, it's not the coach's fault if he didn't believe it.
Yeah, I think I really believe that if I were a GM and I'm David Poile looking over what to do with this team, I go, hey, they're not scoring goals. I'll agree with Crispy. That's not just John Hines. I mean, they've had some scoring chances. They need guys to make plays. You look at the goal that Philip Forsberg scored, the fourth goal in the last game. That has nothing to do with coaching. That was a player making a play. And these players have to go out and do it. Now, a coach can go and motivate his team, and if you have a team that's a bunch of dogs – and the coach does nothing about it, then you look at the coach. But, you know, I think early in this season, where we're at right now, the players have to take it on themselves and say, hey, we got to go out there and find a way to do whatever we do well. That's not just scoring goals, but that's, forechecking well, defending well, blocking shots, making saves. Whatever you do to make the team successful, you have to do it a heck of a lot better than it's been done in the last few games. Now, that's why I say you're probably excited if you're on this team and you win a game like they did against Columbus, because you're saying, okay, we're getting things to work. And you've been working at it all season to get those things to start to click, and it kind of came alive. And so then you say, hey, let's ride this and keep it going.
Hal Gill, as always, will be on the call tonight against Detroit. Have to have it tonight. I need four in a row, Hal. Four in a row to get me excited.
Jared, you can't get four in a row tonight. I'm trying to tell you, pay attention. You got to get one win tonight. Just one.
I need four in a row.
Of course you do. Of course
you
do.
Which would actually be five because they won Saturday. Hal, we'll see you on the broadcast.
Don't throw it in a parlay and see if you can get it.
Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook app, promo code JGM. We'll see you, Hal.
All right. Thanks, Sherrod.
Yep, Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, featuring their new location, Bellmead TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service, my official movers. We're live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. Predators game day presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. It's next on Stillman & Company. And there's some good news for the Predators. That's right. CSPN 102.5 The Game.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
Deflex back for Duchene. His shot stopped. And the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Predators at Detroit tonight. Gotta have it. A loss by the Predators will put them into last place. They gotta have it. As I have said, four in a row. Got to have four in a row this week. They gotta beat Detroit tonight. They gotta beat Detroit Thursday. They gotta beat Columbus Saturday. They gotta beat Columbus Sunday. And then we can talk about a hockey season. Detroit 5-12-3, 13 points for them. The Preds 7-10-0. They are 1-1 on the season against each other. That simply is not good enough. The Predators are 2-6-0 on the road, though they did win on Saturday 4-2 at Columbus, and everybody is giddy apparently about that win. There is good news to be had on the Predators front. According to the injury report, Ryan Johansson has been activated off of the IR. He will return tonight and he will center the third line with Nick Cousins and Ellie Tolvanen. And it'd really be nice if Ellie Tolvanen decided to start making some plays, or at least showed us that he was capable of doing so. But Ryan Johansson back in the lineup. Ben Harper will be back in the lineup on the second pair with Dante Fabbro as well. And Pekka Rinne is expected to start tonight. And let's be real. Pekka is the only thing giving the Predators a lot of these chances to win. And they're going to need him this week if they are going to go to 4-0. It's time now to take a look at the coach's take from Coach John Hines. And it is about the win on Saturday and how important it is to carry it all the way today.
The way that we play and the mindset that we played with continues into tonight. So we had a nice day off after, guys can get home and get refreshed. I thought the energy level of the players yesterday in practice was really good. It looked like very similar to the practice before our Saturday game against Columbus. So you know, it seemed like the guys are excited and dialed in. The energy level, the attention level is there. Now we need to, we need to come in and play with the type of speed and competitiveness that we played with. That's one big component, but the other one was just our puck poise, puck decisions, and puck execution offensively was really good. So we continue to work on a couple of those things this morning and yesterday in practice, and now we got to go back at it and bring the same type of game.
Predators need the big boys to start scoring, and I know that this is the Hines system, and Hal Gill and I have argued about Ryan Ellis for years, and we were arguing about Ryan Ellis earlier, and I just don't think Ryan Ellis is that good. But maybe it's the Hines system. But they're going to need the big boys to start putting the puck in the back of the net. They won the other night because of Cali Yarncroke. And I like Cali Yarncroke, but you're not going to get yourself back into the season, which they seem committed to doing. You're not going to get yourself back into the season with Cali Yarncroke leading the way. So it's got to get better. Taking a look tonight at the standings. Florida in first place, 17 games played. They have 26 points. Carolina, 17 games played, 25 points. What happened to Tampa Bay? I mean, they came in here. They look like the New York Yankees. They've got 16 games in the books. They've only got 23 points. Chicago is 1 point behind, albeit they've played three more games. The Blue Jackets at 22, and then the Stars with 14. The Preds with 14. And the Red Wings with 13. Now, the Preds have three games in hand on the Red Wings, so it's not totally fair, but a win tonight would put the Red Wings in seventh place. It would put the Predators in last place. A win tonight is simply not acceptable. A loss tonight is simply not acceptable for the Predators. I mean, I'm just calling it how it is. I understand. If Pekka Rinne, if they want to sit here and tell us, hey, we think that this team should get a chance to turn it around. We still think there's a lot of season. If David Poile wants to go on the midday show and tell you, the fans, hey, believe in this team. This team can do it. We believe in this team. We want to give this team a little bit more time. They can say whatever they want to say, but you got to start winning games. And a loss tonight would be catastrophic. I mean, I am going to be watching tonight to just make sure that they avoid disaster. They need to win at least three games this week. I think for me to become a believer or to even entertain the idea, they need to sweep all four. But you can't sweep all four tonight. You can only take care of business against Detroit. 6:30 tonight right here on ESPN 102.5. The game with the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, will be on the call with Hal Gill. Pre-game starts next.